Well, this morning we're beginning a new series called Loved by Jesus, Love Like Jesus. And we'll be looking at various stories from the Gospels of encounters people had with Jesus, of ways that Jesus loved people when he was with them face to face. Not just so we can learn those stories and be educated, but more importantly, so we can learn to love like Jesus loves. And so we look at them as examples, and we look at them as how Jesus would have us to love, as I prayed about, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our family members, the strangers that we encounter. And this morning I'm going to begin with a story that might be familiar to many. In fact, if you're of my generation or older, and I don't know, sometimes these songs kind of fall out of favor because, well, we have new things come up and we kind of tend to like the new things. But if you remember this song, perhaps you could sing along, and if you're, again, my generation, you know the motions. This little guy called Zacchaeus, right? So let's do this together. And I'm not the singer that many are, but I fumble through it and we make the best of it. So here we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. So that's kind of the sermon in a nutshell, and you're going to think, okay, so we can go home. Not quite. That's the story. The question is, what is the application? What does it have to do with us? If God says all Scripture is profitable, all Scripture is useful for instruction, for teaching, for training in righteousness, what does this story have to do with you? What does it have to do with me? And as we look at these encounters with Jesus, as we look at what it looks like to be loved by Jesus so that we can love like Jesus, I think today's topic almost becomes foundational, because most of these stories are going to include a very similar element. I've titled today's message, Loving the Overlooked. And you're probably counting those words and you're thinking, those are all long words other than the. But because it is foundational, I'm not using any of those words. I'm going to do something old school, and we're going to look at the three R's. You know, that's kind of, at least used to be, the foundations of education, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. And see, we even messed it up because we took the A off of arithmetic, and so that it would fit the R's. But that was kind of old school foundational teaching. But what happens when we look at God's Word and we consider these three R's as the foundation of what it looks like to not only be loved by Jesus, but to love like Jesus? And I think Zacchaeus gives us an incredible glimpse into what it looks like to love the overlooked. Now, Zacchaeus was overlooked for a variety of reasons. One, Scripture tells us his stature was such that he had difficulty being able to see who Jesus was, to be able to even see him. Everybody, it seemed, kind of towered over him. He kind of got shuffled to the back of the crowd. He was also overlooked because of his position in life. A tax collector. Who wants to be friends with the guy that's coming to take your money? Probably not very many of us choose that as our best friend. And that was even more so true, I think, in the days of Zacchaeus, when you understand the way that taxes were gathered by the Romans. But Zacchaeus lived this life that was overlooked, and it made me think about you, and it made me think about me. How many times do we live life in everyday life that we feel overlooked by someone. We may feel overlooked by our spouse. We may feel overlooked by our employer. We may feel overlooked by our friends. We go through life, and there's times that I suspect all of us encounter that. If not, I'm on my own here, and I'll preach to myself, and you guys can listen in. But we have those times we think, does anybody really care? Does anybody even notice? Now, here's the thing. This isn't a self-pity party. This isn't a time to really focus on me being overlooked. But it's all about realizing that it's so common that the people that you encounter often feel that way. If I feel overlooked at times, and I know that I'm loved, I know that I'm accepted, I know that I have a place of belonging, not only with my family, but with my church family, with God Himself, and there still are times where I feel overlooked, what does that say about those who have no family that cares for them, who have no relationship with a God that loves them? And it ought to make it clear in our lives that there are people we will encounter every day who experience these feelings of being overlooked, and that because they feel overlooked by people, they have no belief, no understanding that God would ever accept them. In fact, they feel overlooked like by God, that God has somehow forgotten them. So we come to this story of Zacchaeus. And I think when I look at this story of Zacchaeus and I think about what does that look like in today's world, in today's life, I begin, in order to love the overlooked, we must start with a loving realization. He didn't write this. Luke wrote it. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Hold on to that thought just a moment. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him. We'll pause there for a moment. We learn to love the overlooked when we learn this loving realization that the journey that we are on has value even as the destination we're headed to does. Did you catch that? As Jesus was on his way, he was passing through. He wasn't coming to Jericho. He wasn't coming to see Zacchaeus. He had a destination in mind. He had a place that he was traveling to. And sometimes we live life, we get so focused on where we're going, we get so focused on our plans for the day, we get so focused on what we want to do, that we miss this loving realization that there are people overlooked along the way in life. We get so busy, we go through life with blinders on, that we just really don't want to see what's happening around us because, well, we might feel convicted that we ought to do something. As Jesus was on his way, as he was passing through, this story unfolds that there's a man that just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. I don't think there was any hope, any desire, any even awareness that it could go beyond just being able to see him. There have been times throughout my lifetime where various presidents of the United States have visited the area specifically to speak at a Notre Dame commencement or something like that. And there would be people lined up along the highway, along the airport fences, just trying to get a glimpse of the president, even if all they could get a glimpse of was of Air Force One. They didn't expect anything more. They did not expect to be able to speak with him. They did not expect an audience with the president. They just wanted a glimpse. And we do that with people that we admire. We do that with celebrities. We do that with people that we think have importance. Somehow, if I could just see them, it would change my day. It would make my life more complete. And I think that was what was in the mind of Zacchaeus. If I could just see Jesus. I've heard so much about him. His reputation has spread far and wide. If I could just see him as he passes through. And I wonder, the people in our life, if we would live with that same loving realization that there are people around us that just want to see Jesus. And the way that they do that in today's culture, in today's world, is by looking at you and at me. Or at least that's the way they ought to be able to do that. We have this loving realization that the people around us need to see Jesus, and they need to see Jesus in us as we go through life, passing through. And what would your life look like today? If you were to consciously think about people seeing Jesus as you're driving down Ironwood, what would your life look like this week if you would consciously think every day about people needing to see Jesus as you visit your favorite restaurant? As you just do life. It's that loving realization that we are the representatives of Jesus that our neighbors need to see, our coworkers need to see, our fellow students need to see. It is about eternity with God. It is about salvation that has saved us from eternal destruction. We do have an eternal destination. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. But if all it was about in being in a relationship with God is to getting to heaven, then it would seem that it would be most practical for God to take us to heaven as soon as we come into relationship with him. But there's this loving realization that the journey is part of the task. That it's not just taking up time. It's not just taking up space. And when we learn to love the overlooked, we learn that the overlooked are often all along our journey, everywhere that we go. And we begin to pray that God would open our eyes to see those who are overlooked, to see those who feel they have no place of belonging, to see those that just want a glimpse of what we have, of what we know. They want a glimpse of God at work. And so we begin to learn how to love the overlooked when we begin to learn to live life with this loving realization that the overlooked are not just us, it is everyone around us. And to realize they don't have to be overlooked. That we can take notice. That we can be that representative of Jesus that they need to see. But not only do we need to learn to love the overlooked by having this loving realization that they exist, we learn to love the overlooked by having a loving request. I love this middle part of the story because if you think about it very long, at least in my mind, if I think about it very long, it sounds really strange to me. Picking up, overlapping a little bit of where we were, in verse 5 of Luke 19. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, I'm guessing you would find it very awkward and strange if you would encounter someone on the street this week who feels overlooked, who is longing to see Jesus, and because of your representation of Jesus, they notice he makes a difference in your life, and they would come up to you and say, "Hey, I want to come over to your house." Well, that's odd. I don't know you. I didn't invite you. What's this inviting yourself to my house? Now, we would view that, I would view that as kind of strange. But did you hear the story? That's what Jesus did. He notices Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had climbed this tree so he could see. We know the story. And Jesus comes along and notices him and tells him to come down because I'm coming to your house. Well, I hope Zacchaeus wanted a guest. And he did. Now, I'm not saying that we necessarily are expecting people around us to invite themselves into our home. But I am saying that we need to have the same attitude of Jesus, the same loving request, that we are willing to invite ourselves, so to speak, into the lives of others. We are willing to invest into their life. We are willing to be involved. So many times we see those that are overlooked, and our first reaction is to just turn and walk the other way. We don't know what they want. We don't know what they need. We don't know them. And I'm busy. I have a destination in mind. I have life to live. But if we love the overlooked like Jesus, we invite ourselves to be involved in their life in a way that represents Jesus, in a way that makes him known. We ask those questions, how can I pray for you? We ask those questions, what do you need? We ask those questions. And it's those questions that invite ourselves to be involved. It invites ourselves to love. Given how easy it sounds, it's kind of amazing how difficult it is to do. To simply ask a person, "How can I pray for you?" We become afraid. It's a terrifying thing for most people, especially a stranger. How will they react? How will they respond? Do they even want anyone praying for them? And granted, there are those that will say, "No thanks. I'm good. I don't need anything." And that's okay. But until we have the courage, we talked all the last 13 weeks about a time for courage, to make this loving request, to enter into the lives of one another. And it's one of the things that I love about the fellowship times that we're able to have here at Deer Run, because it kind of gives us practice. If we can't ask one another, "How can I pray for you this week?" I'm pretty sure we're not going to ask a stranger. And if we can't pray for one another that we worship God together with, we're probably not going to pray for those that we don't even know. And so we have this loving request. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, you come down because I want to be involved in your life." And when we encounter people who feel overlooked, when we love like Jesus, we approach people that are lost and hurting and in need and overlooked and in sorrow and just living life. How can we do this together? How can we involve Jesus in the midst of what's going on? We live life learning to love the overlooked when we learn to a loving realization, when we learn a loving request. But you may be asking, so what's the point? What good does it do? Well, I think when we learn and practice those loving realizations and loving requests, we're able to see the loving result. The end of the story, beginning at verse 8 of Luke 19. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I know, growing up, and every time I've heard this story, almost every time at least, there's always this commentary about what a cheat that Zacchaeus was. And he may have been. But it really doesn't say that. He voluntarily offered to give half of all of his possessions to the poor. And then added on to that, "If I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times what they've been cheated out of." Now, part of that we get, we read historical stuff about the times of the Romans and how that was kind of the way the tax collectors made money. Is the Romans would set how much they needed, and the tax collector could keep anything extra that he would collect. And so they kind of get a bad reputation. In fact, the Jewish people specifically, and some of it was because of their practices, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that they hated Rome. And I don't know that it would have mattered if the tax collectors had been completely honest and above board. They still would have been hated because they're the tax collectors. And we kind of get that a little bit. I don't know of anybody that appreciates hearing from the IRS. It's not necessarily that they're bad people that we're dealing with. They're kind of like all of us. Some might be, some might not be. But we just don't like it because they're taking money. And that was the case here. Because I always think, well, if Zacchaeus gave half of his wealth away immediately, that didn't leave him a whole lot to repay others four times what had been cheated. And so I don't know. I just, that's kind of a side point, I guess, that regardless of who Zacchaeus was, regardless of how he lived life, this loving result of Jesus loving the overlooked was a transformation. But it wasn't just a transformation of action. It wasn't just a transformation of what people see. Jesus says the reason that the transformation was obvious was because this man Zacchaeus, had come to know Jesus in a personal way. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house." You see, we look at that and sometimes we get so focused on money. We think that the loving result is the fact that Zacchaeus gave away his money. We think the loving result is that Zacchaeus not only gave half of his wealth to the poor, but he was willing to make restitution to anyone he might have cheated. But that's not the loving result. That's the produce of the loving result. The loving result was that realization that the Son of Man, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus realized he had been one of those. And he didn't want to be. You see, sometimes we work so hard to produce a result that is all about stuff. And when we would work with more diligence in introducing people to Jesus, the transformation he produces is far greater than what we could ever accomplish. I can sit down with people and I can talk till I'm blue in the face about why they ought to do what is right. And sometimes I have enough logical reasons behind me, and the person is logical enough that they say, well, yeah, that makes sense. I probably shouldn't do this anymore. I ought to do this. And that generally works until somebody else comes along and convinces them that, well, you really don't have to do what Tom said. Here's a way that you can get by with doing less. And that process just continues as we encounter other people. But if Jesus gets hold of a heart, and the actions are transformed not because I talk them into it, not because somebody else talks them into it, but because they realize the Word of God is living and active and convicts them that life needs to change, then it becomes something that God produces. You see, this loving result is a salvation that depends not on my wisdom, not on my response even, but it depends on the work of God transforming a repentant heart. When we desire to turn to God, God says His desire is to turn to us. And the great news is we don't have to be perfect at it because we can't be. But God is perfect at it because that's who He is. This morning, as you consider what it looks like to love the overlooked, I want you to know, first off, if you are here today, if you're listening and watching online and you are one of those that feel overlooked by people, you may even feel overlooked by God, I want you to know this story of Zacchaeus is about God loving you. You are not overlooked by Him, regardless of how much you might feel that, regardless of how much other Christians might have made you feel overlooked by God. It was the crowd that seemed to be keeping Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. The crowd were people who were lining the street because they wanted to see Jesus. Yeah, I thought about that numerous times. If these were people that were pursuers of Jesus, they wanted to see Jesus because they loved Him. They wanted to see Him because of His love for them. Why couldn't they let the little guy stand up front? I mean, what's so difficult about being kind and considerate and saying, okay, you can't see, come up here. But then I thought about life. How often do we clamor for the best position, the best place, the best seats, the best this, the best that, and we push others aside who would just need to be encouraged and brought up front. I'm not sure we're so different than the crowd when Jesus wants us to be more like Him. I also think of Jesus. He's walking. Now, I'm one, because of my love for photographing nature, that I'm looking everywhere when I walk, but not everyone does that. And He notices not just the crowds that are lining the street, He notices the individual, the person that wants to see. As we live life, know that Jesus notices you. Whatever effort that you're putting into trying to be seen does not go unnoticed by Jesus. But not only do I want to speak to the times we feel overlooked, I want to speak specifically to how we live like Jesus, how we love like Jesus. This week, your homework assignment, if I can use those words in church, is to pay attention. Doesn't sound that difficult, but it will be. Look for those who are trying to see. look for those that want an encounter with Jesus. Now, sometimes that expression looks really messy to us, and we're not quite sure what to do with it. But when we begin to realize how much we are loved by Jesus, we ought to begin to love others like Jesus does. And today we begin by loving the overlooked, by having that loving realization that there are people along our path, there are people in this journey of life that we live, that we just pass by, and they need to know love. We make that loving request. And if it's as simple as asking how we can pray for them, if it's as inviting them to join you for lunch somewhere, we invite ourselves in a good and proper way into their life. And we see and wait and trust God for the loving result. We keep loving. God keeps doing His thing. And I believe we become that church that the book of Acts describes as the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. That's kind of the point of this series, Loved by Jesus, Love Like Jesus. I believe when we do that, God's work is made known throughout the community. And people begin to see Jesus. Not because they see Him here, but they see Him in the people that gather here. And they see Him in you, and they see Him in me, wherever I'm at. You see, that's my prayer, that together we can love the overlooked, and that Jesus is lifted up. As we come to a time of decision this morning, it is a time for everyone. Maybe we are that overlooked Zacchaeus that we want to see Jesus, but I don't even know how to do that. Well, good news. I would love to talk with you about how to come into relationship with Jesus, to open up God's Word, and to say, this is who He is. This is what He asks. These are His commands. This is how Jesus says that we belong to Him. For many, and I would guess most listening today, you've already made that decision. You've been immersed into Christ. You're living with your sins washed away. You're trying to please God. And He's calling you to up your game a little bit. He's saying, love the overlooked like I love the overlooked. And perhaps He's calling you to be more deliberate, simply about noticing people. Perhaps He's calling you to be more deliberate about inviting yourself into their life in a good way to pray for them. Perhaps He's inviting you to trust Him. For those people that you may have encountered that you've kind of written off and says there's no hope, they'll never change. They're always going to be that way. I'm sure there were many that said the same thing about Zacchaeus. And here he is having this party with Jesus. And Jesus says, today salvation has come. Will you be one that is loved by Jesus so that you can love like Jesus? We're going to stand and sing a song of decision. If you have a decision that you need to make publicly, you're welcome to do that. Whatever it is, I pray that you would decide to not only be loved by Jesus, but to love like He loves. Would you you stand and sing?